Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dan Olin and Best Life Church. Our desire is for Holy Spirit to open up your vantage points to heaven's perspectives and experience living God in real time. Father really does think you're amazing. Enjoy the message.
If you would, turn in your Bibles. Turn to the book of Colossians. The book of Colossians. And look at verse 3 of chapter 1. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you just as it has in all of the world. Also, it's constantly bearing fruit. Everybody say constantly. Constantly bearing fruit and increasing. How many know that's one of the fingerprints of what grace produces? Constant fruit bearing and increase. That's why Paul said over in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 that when God causes all grace to abound towards you, it causes you to be all sufficient in all things and able to abound to every good work. That's part of what the grace of God produces in your life. And he goes on to say, it's constantly bearing fruit and increasing, even as it has in you since the day that you heard it and understood the grace of God. How many know the understanding part is the walking it out part? Understanding is not sitting in a desk and being taught a theological subject. Understanding is knowing how to take that subject and you have revelation from the Spirit of God and you know how to walk that out. So anytime you see the word understanding, in Proverbs it says, in all you're getting, get wisdom. Wisdom is the revelation of what is. But it said, in all you're getting, in getting wisdom, get understanding. Because the understanding is actually the legs of knowing how to implement what you've got from the Spirit of God to walk that out in your life. So Paul is dealing with the church in Colossae here. He says, since the day that you understood what the grace of God was, you're bearing fruit continually and increasing. Well, how many of that's got to be a given? Whenever God's involved with something, that's just what happens. Amen? Because God's not barren, is he? And he didn't make you barren. You're a child of the living God. He's alive. That means he talks. That means he's alive. That means he's with you every day of your life. Right? You know, I wish I had some time. Maybe in the future I'll teach a whole series on the grace of God. And because there's just so many verses. I mean, I sat down yesterday and wrote down probably 30 or 40 of them about what the grace of God is. But Paul understood what the grace of God was. Let me just take you to a few of them. Again, go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You say, why is this important? Because when we're talking about the kingdom of God, folks, what the Spirit of God is trying to do, folks, is get us off of one track onto another. Okay? We've been on a track for hundreds of years that was one of theological understanding. And there's nothing wrong with theologically understanding things. We've got to understand what is accurate according to what the Scripture is saying. But what we have to understand also is Paul wrote these things not from a theological understanding. He wrote these things from the things that the Spirit of God revealed to him and that he walked it out. It was OJT all the time. And so he understood what the grace of God was. What did I tell you to do? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Looked at these verses last week, but I'll just refresh our memories. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And look at verse 10. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10, it says, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. His grace toward me did not prove vain, but I labored." Everybody say labored.
Labored.
I know that's walking it out. "I labored more than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God with me." Everybody say with me. That means wherever he was, there it was. Right? Now go over to Colossians chapter 1. We're just over here. Look at verse 29. Colossians chapter 1, verse 29. It says, "For this purpose also I labor, striving according to the" what? Well, I thought he said he was according to the grace. It's the same thing. What do we have for him, Johnny? Oh. It's the same thing. "Striving according to his power that mightily works within me." That mightily works within me. Now go over to 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I gotta stop here at some point because I could run these verses all day long. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, look at verse 9. It says, "Concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that he might leave me." Now, he's talking about this whole quote, thorn in the flesh. Let's just get one thing straight. This was not an infirmity. Okay? Any time this is used in the Greek New Testament, it's used in reference to an entity, individual, not an infirmity. Okay? Can you know the difference between an infirmity and a person? Right? There's a difference. You might think that somebody who bugs you all the time is an infirmity, but they're not. Okay? So he's not talking about a disease or a sickness or any of that kind of mess. He's not talking about an eye disease. He's not talking about anything else. He's talking about the fact that every time he would go into a city, he would lay the gospel out for the people. He would leave. And then he even tells you in this verse, it was the Judaizers, the zealot Jews that would come in behind him and try to undo everything that he tried to lay as a foundation. How many know if you do this, if this was your life, and every time you went in to sow the foundation of Jesus Christ and you left and went to another city, in behind you came all the zealot Jews to undo what you did, how many of that would get kind of wearing? Wouldn't it? Y'all here?
Yeah.
So this is what he's speaking about. So he went to the Lord. He said, "I went to the Lord three times about this deal. And concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that he might leave me. And he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you.'" For what? "My power is perfected or brought to completion in weakness or natural limitations." You see what he just said? He said, "Paul, cool your jets. It's not about you. It's not about your debating ability. It's not about anything naturally you learned in the religious system of the Jewish faith. It's not about any of those things that you perfected and developed that you've tried to use and it didn't work. It's all about my presence and my power. I'm well able." And so Paul's response was that, he said, "Therefore I'm content and with my natural inabilities," he says, "because," he says, "I'd rather boast about my natural inabilities so that the power of the anointed one and his anointing will dwell within me." So everybody say this, the grace of God, is about the presence of God in me and with me. And because of that union, there is always the presence of his power all the time. That is the grace of God. Now let me show you something else. Go over to, I've only got five fingers on one hand. I can't hold all these places. Go over to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Look at verse 22. It says, the Lord be with your what?
Spirit.
And then what's the next thing?
Grace be with you.
What is the grace of God? It is the working of His power because of His presence in you and with you. How many know natural man after the fall did not have that? How many know that's why the gospel is so awesome? You know, here's the thing that's amazing, folks. I had lunch with a New Age person. Well, you know, I say that way. I had lunch with a person who's been influenced by that train of thought. And do you know that everything that I said, they agreed with. They understood. I told them, I said, what you need to understand is man was created, the Spirit of God was created to be fused in the spirit of man. And they agree with that. They talk about God as Father. I call Him Daddy. They call Him Father. But everything that I've talked about as far as the fact that a human being that is breathing on this planet is supposed to be living connected to the Spirit of God, so that when Daddy has things on his mind, we know what it is. When Daddy wants to say things, we know what he wants to say. That it wasn't just about collecting theological understanding on this thing. We have to come to the place where we do like John understood, that it's a walking out our fellowship with Him. It's about His presence with us all the time. And you know, they understood all of that. I told them about the fact that, you know, they started talking about what we talked about, Isaiah, and the fact that what Isaiah saw. See, they're not fazed by this stuff. They're not fazed by when we talk about Isaiah being a seer. They're not fazed by that because they understand those terms. I said Isaiah was a seer, and Isaiah, what Isaiah saw over the entire human race was a canopy. It was the canopy of death. And so man was under the dominion of this canopy of death, and he was separated from God. And but I said, I don't understand why people have an aversion to Jesus. Because what we don't understand, what folks don't understand is what Jesus did in the earth is he was actually back when man was created, he was actually the one that did it. When the Lord showed up to Abraham, it was actually Him. Any contact with human beings on the planet, it was Him. He came into the earth as a human being, and He went to the cross, and He paid the lien that was against the human race. And when He was raised up, my Daddy raised Him and the entire human race up and sat us next at the right hand of Him for the rest of eternity. My Jesus restored back to me the authority and removed that canopy of death that was over all of human beings. He removed that, and He restored back to human beings the power and authority that was theirs, they were created to. And I reference Genesis chapter 1 verse 28. And by the time we got done, so the one lingering question that they had was, but how do you get, now get this, folks, how do you get a person to be interested in the things of God? You know what the answer to that question is? They have to have a nature upgrade. That's the reason. The things of God to a natural man are foolishness, but as a new creation, Jesus made us a new creation. But we have to take ownership of those things. Folks, I'm telling you, the reason why folks that are have been influenced by the New Age. The reason why church doesn't interest them is because so much of what has become church is nothing more than collecting theological teaching on things, but it never goes past what we put in our head to store. Because we never walk out the reality of what Jesus actually did. But Paul's talking about here, he's talking about the grace of God. It wasn't a theology. It wasn't God feeling sorry for us. It wasn't him saying, well, you know, I ought to roast you, but I think I'll be nice to you instead. That's not what the grace of God is. That's what the theological church has been told the grace of God is. But the grace of God is more practical, more hands-on than that. Go over to the book of Acts. The book of Acts. And let me give you some examples. Go to Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18. Look at verse 10. Well, it's just for the fun of it. Let's go to... Yeah, let's go to verse 9. Now, let me ask you again. When Paul said he was doing his ministry, how did he say he was accomplishing his ministry? By the grace of God. In another place in the letter to the Colossian church, he said, I strive according to the power that's working in me. Right? Well, here's another way to describe that. In 18 verse 9, he says, and the Lord said to Paul in the night by a vision. Everybody say, by a vision. Say, by a vision again.
By a vision.
See, we treat those like that's a bad word nowadays. By a vision, he said, do not be afraid. No, that's not what he said. What he actually said in the Greek was, stop being afraid. Isn't it nice to know that Paul had the same emotions that every human being has? He wasn't some super dude that, you know, even when Jesus was in the earth, they said he was touched with all the, you know, he was touched with all of the emotions and natural feelings and things that we are. And it says, stop being afraid. But go on speaking and do not be silent for what?
I'm with you.
That's the grace of God. I'm with you. Everybody say, I'm with you. Everybody say, he's with me. That's the grace of God. The grace of God is an empowerment. It's not empathy. It's an empowerment. Now go over to Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19. And look at verse 11. God was performing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul. That's the grace of God. Go over to Acts chapter 23. Acts chapter 23. And look at verse 10 first. It says, and a great dissension was developing there on the ship, and the commander was afraid Paul would be torn to pieces This isn't the situation. But anyway, the commander was afraid that Paul would be torn to pieces by them, the Jewish leadership, and he ordered the troops to go down and take him away by force and bring him to the barracks. And then verse 11, what does it say? But on the night immediately following, the Lord what? Stood at his side and said, the Lord has stood at his side. That's the grace of God. That's the presence of God with us And because of that presence, there is an empowerment that is always there. Okay? Go over to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Look at verse 22. Peter is preaching and he says, "Men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene," notice he didn't say Jesus the Son of God. He was speaking of him as a man in the earth with the Holy Spirit in him and on him. He said, "Men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs which God performed through him in your midst." Now Acts 10:38 says he went about doing good and healing all those that were oppressed of the devil because God was with him. Notice what John, go to John chapter 1, notice what John calls that. John chapter 1. John said, in verse 14, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw His glory, the glory of an only begotten from the Father, full of what?" Full of what? Isn't it amazing? We've read this verse for centuries and we haven't understood that it was actually talking about the power of God that followed him because God was with him. It says, "For the law came through Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ." Now go back over to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Look at verse 25. The grace of God is the power of God working because of the presence of God in you and with you, right? Acts chapter 2, verse 25. Peter begins to quote some Old Testament scriptures. And he says, "For David says of him, I saw the Lord always," what? "In my presence. For he's at my right hand, and I will not be shaken." Look at verse 28. "You have made known to me, because of your presence, and you being at my right hand, you've made known to me the ways of life. You make me full of gladness with your" what? "Your presence." Now, Peter's explanation to that was in verse 31. He says that David looked ahead and spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that he was neither abandoned to Hades nor his flesh suffered decay. This Jesus God raised up again, which we're all witnesses to. And then notice the next verse. "Therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit." Isn't the Holy Spirit the presence of God? So we're still in context, right? "Having received the promise of the Holy Spirit, the promise of His presence, He's poured forth that which you both see and hear." So how many know that the presence of God means when you live in the reality of the presence of God, you're living connected and there's a flow. Understand that? There's always a flow. There's always a flow. There's always something that Father wants to get over to you, communicate to you, show you. Loved your offering message this morning, by the way. It's good. There's always something He wants to get over to us. There's always somebody He wants to speak to through you. He wants to tell you what to say. He wants to put an impression in you. He wants to lead you and direct you to somebody. Because somebody is still under that canopy of death because they haven't taken ownership. Because they don't know that human beings were never created to live separate from the presence of Jesus. In fact, there's other verses there, if you can read on farther down. Incidentally, one place called what David said, "You make me full of gladness with your presence." One place called that the blessings of David. The blessings of David. Little side note here, you remember in Romans chapter 4 verse 17 where it talked about Abraham believed in the presence of Him. We always skip over that part. Abraham believed in the presence of Him. In the presence of Him. Abraham lived under the operation of the presence of God and the working of His power, the grace of God, just like anybody in the New Testament. Except he wasn't a new creation. See, the grace of God is not a New Testament concept, folks. It always has been. It always has been an element of what human beings were created to have and experience, because they were never created to live separate from the presence and the power of God. That's why Galatians 3:13 says that Christ was made a curse for us so that we might receive the blessing of Abraham. And then it goes on to talk about even the Holy Spirit, who is what? The presence of God. See, it was the blessing of Abraham. It was the blessing of David. It's the blessing. It's the presence of God in the presence of man or with the presence of man. That's the blessing. When God spoke to the first human being on the planet, the very first words he heard in Genesis 1 was just that he blessed them and said, "Be fruitful, have dominion, subdue, and have, you know, be fruitful, subdue, and have dominion." Do you think he expected man to do that in his own effort? No, he expected him to do that because he was connected to the presence. That was the blessing. So when we talk about the blessing, we're talking about the fact that there, with you everywhere you go, as a new creation man, with you wherever you go, it's just like Paul said in the book of Acts, the Lord was with me. He's with us. You say, well, what's the difference between the church nowadays and the church in the first century, like we see in the book of Acts? The difference is they had more of a God reality than we do. Because we had this bad babysitter that told us that our daddy really wasn't interested in us anymore and he didn't do that anymore. And everybody believes it. And it's just not so. Look at let me find this verse for you and I'll go to 2 Thessalonians. Again, let me ask you, what is the grace of God? It's the working of His power because of His presence. We call this the gospel of grace. because it's about the restitution, the restoring of the presence of God into the presence of man. Jesus did that for us. Human beings have absolutely, unless they're being pushed demonically, they have absolutely no reason to have an aversion to Jesus, because Jesus unshackled them, took them from the trash can, put them on the throne next to his daddy, next to him, where we'll enjoy his presence and his fellowship forever. It's not natural for a human being to have an aversion to Jesus unless they're being pushed by darkness the opposite direction. Do you understand that? Because what Jesus did is not a bad thing. It's not a religious thing. It's not a theological thing. It's not something we're just going to believe in because that's what we believe. It's a reality that is just a fact that's been established. Look at 2 Thessalonians and look at let's go to verse 3. It says, we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brethren, as it's only fitting, because your faith is greatly enlarged and the love of each one of you towards one another grows even greater. Therefore, we ourselves spoke proudly of you among the churches of God for the perseverance and the faith in the midst of all of the persecution and afflictions which you endure. This is a plain indication of God's righteous judgment, so that you will be considered worthy of the kingdom of God, for which indeed you are suffering. For after all, it is only just for God to repay with affliction those who are afflicting you. Everybody say, hoorah. And to us as well, what it says, I skipped my place here, didn't I? For after all, it's only just for God to repay with affliction those who afflict you and to give you relief who are afflicted, and to us as well, when the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, dealing with retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel of grace, the gospel of his presence, and the working of his power. Notice what it says. These will pay the penalty of eternal destruction. What's the next lines? Away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. If you didn't want the gospel of grace when you were here, you don't get it when you're there. Because the understanding is those who receive with open arms the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, they get the presence and they get the glory of his power. Right? Wouldn't that be a logical place to go in our thought processes? Folks, that is what the gospel is. The gospel is about the presence of the Lord in you and with you. And because of that, you live a life connected to the mind of Daddy. In him we live and we move and we have our being. Because that's the way a human being was created to function. Every human being on this planet was created to function like that. Everybody. In whatever industry you're in, it'll take you to the top. It'll give you wisdom that nobody else has. It'll give you insight that nobody else has. All you have to do is learn how to take direction from him. It could come in the form of an idea. It could come in the form of an impression. It can come in the form of him, of a thought coming into your head that's a sentence or a word or a phrase. All of these ways are the ways that the Spirit of God leads and guides us and directs us. We've just got to become more practiced at living here all the time. Now, go back over to Colossians. And while we're going there, go ahead and play that video. Now, when we play this video, I want you to notice two things. I want you to notice a believer who's been so trained by the religious system, he completely is disconnected and his mind is blown by watching a new creation who knows how to live connected. Watch this.
While we were with Ravi, we drove 5 hours to this enormous temple. Ravi had told us that morning that God had shown him a man we were supposed to find. He didn't know his name, just what he looked like. White beard, orange robe, with a turban on his head. So we walked and searched and looked around, and then...
White beard, turban, saffron clothes. Saffron. That's same. There he is. Samuel got him.
No freaking way. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. It's one thing to read about this stuff happening in, like, the book of Acts, but it's something else entirely when it's happening right in front of you. Who was this person? Why did God tell us to find him?
It's worse than the Samasi Akira. Samasi Akira. It's worse than the
Balladinda Nam Tadita Namagan Hal Kurushi on the Yard Tingle this Yard Tingle Bitidra Waginda.
All Arpuspur
Nama Gurguliga Nama
Arpuspur
Arpuspur Ali. How did Sara? Yakandra Kurta, Yakandra, Aurora Pau, Aurora Manasaur, Buddhi, Aurora Chaitany, Hagar Teti, Haga, Parkar Mela. Tapas Madritara, they were distilled in Urkondo, Tulukondo, Adana, Adana, on the Diksha Matara, on the Ling Dikshagli, on the Rudakshi Dikshagli, Ramadin the Nadipa, Hadiali, Apatepa Bera, Sulebera, Yau Kalatana, Sulutana, Jatatana, Dushi, Buddhigalana, Shida, Samasra, Pavdin, the Hogan, Tatra. Adre, now Tulukunda, the Pavdin, the Yakachit, the Nyanas Ropa, in the Hogan. Therma, Therma Rachin. ಧರ್ಮ ರಕ್ಷಿಸ್ಕೊಂತ ಹೋಗ್ಬೇಕು ಧರ್ಮನ್ನ ತಿಳ್ಸ್ಕೋಬಾರ್ದು
ಓಕೆ ಸೊ ನಿಮಗೂ ಬಸವಣ್ಣಗೂ ವ್ಯತ್ಯಾಸ ಇದೆ ಇಲ್ಲ ಬಸವಣ್ಣವರ
ಬಸವಣ್ಣ
ನೀವು ಅದೇ ಲಿಂಗ ಸಮಾಜದಲ್ಲಿದ್ದೀರಾ ಅಥವಾ
ಲಿಂಗ ಸಮಾಜ
ಲಿಂಗ ಸಮಾಜ ನೀವು ಅದೇ ಲಿಂಗ ಸಮಾಜ
ಅವ್ರದ್ದು
ಅವ್ರದೇ
ತತ್ವ ಹೌದಾ crowd was gathering. The two decided to go to a lower temple for more privacy to talk. Along the way, Ravi explained that this was a Maharishi, which is a guru of gurus, the Hindu equivalent of a bishop. Maharishis are not even allowed to hear the gospel. He should have incited the crowd to stone us. Instead, he wanted to talk more. Why? We found out pretty quick.
And he saw me and he didn't know what, where to meet this fellow. No, in the dream. Someone told him to do this. He doesn't know what, who it is. But then he says, that is right, that's Yesu, that's Jesus. Saw in his dreams. Until then, he didn't know who that is.
Okay, but now he knows.
Yes.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Think about this. Days ago, this Maharishi has a dream where Jesus appears and tells him to go to this temple on this day, and he shows him a picture of Ravi. At the same time, we've been told by God to go to this temple on this day to find a man with a white beard, saffron robes, and a turban on his head. Needless to say, Ravi now has the Maharishi's undivided attention.
Bari polster, polster. Are shinela bara makkalu maaru bara atma bara bisu bisu maaru bara atma bara nola tara. Adre ad kintalu on sreshtha anta maarta ide. Namagella gottiruvanta maaru. Ellaru hudukonta maaru. Alva aa hudukonta maaru nam phone number ide. ಅಲ್ಲ. ನೀವು ನನ್ನ ಮಾತಾಡ್ಬೇಕಂದ್ರೆ ನನ್ನ ನಂಬರ್ ಕೊಟ್ರೇನೆ ನನ್ನ ನೀವು ನನ್ನ ಜೊತೆ ಮಾತಾಡಕ್ಕೆ ಅಲ್ವ. ಇನ್ನೊಂದು ನಂಬರ್ ಕೊಟ್ಟು ನನ್ನ ಜೊತೆ ಮಾಡಕ್ ಆತ ರಾಂಗ್ ನಂಬರ್ ಅಂತ ಹೋಗ್ತಾರೆ ಅಲ್ವಾ. ಹಂಗೆ ಒಬ್ರು ಅಲ್ಲ ನಾವು ಶಿಷ್ಯತ್ವ ಅಂತೀವಿ ಏನಂತಾರ ಅದನ್ನ ಏನಂತ ಅದನ್ನ ಜ್ಞಾನ ಮಾಡ್ತೀವಿ ಧ್ಯಾನ ಮಾಡ್ತೀವಿ. ಆದ್ರೆ ನೀವು ನಂಬೋ ಮುಖಾಂತರ ಆ ದೇವನ್ನ ನಂಬೋ ಮುಖಾಂತರ ನೀವು ರಕ್ಷಣೆ ಹೊಂದ್ತೀರ, ನೀವು ಮೋಕ್ಷ ಇವಾಗ ಮೋಕ್ಷ ಹೊಂದ್ತಿರ ನಂಬಿಕೆ ಇದೆಯಾ? ಖಂಡಿತ ಅಲ್ಲ.
ನಮ್ ಮುಖ್ಯ ಹೊಂದಿ ಎನ್ನುವಂಥದ್ದು ಎಲ್ಲ ಭಗವಂತನ ಬಿಟ್ಕೊಟ್ಟಿದ್ದೆ. ಗುರು ದೇವ ಭವ ಆತನ ಜೀವ ಸತ್ಯ ಎಲ್ಲ ಪರಮಾತ್ಮನ ತಾಯಿ ದೇವಿದು ಎಲ್ಲ ಸರ್ಕಾರ ಶಕ್ತಿ ಭಾವನೆ ನೀವು ನಡೆಯಂಥದ್ದು ನಡೆದಿರ್ತ ನಾವು ಸುಮ್ಮನೆ ಪರಮಾತ್ಮ ನಮಗೆ ಎಮ್ಮೆ ಬೇಡ. ನಾವು ಹುಟ್ಟಿದ್ರು ತಾವು ಏನು ಬೇಡ, ರಾಣಿನ ಪಾದಲ್ಲಿ ಇಟ್ಕೋ ಕರುಣೆ ಮಾಡಿ ಆ ದೇವರಲ್ಲಿ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಇತ್ತು ದಯಾಮಯ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಇತ್ತು ಆ ಭಗವಂತ ತನ್ನ ಅಧಿಪತಿಯಲ್ಲಿ
ಇಟ್ಬಿಡ್ತಾನೆ. ಅದಕ್ಕಿಂತ ಒಂದು ಮೇಲೆ ಇದೆ ಅಲ್ವಾ, ಅದಕ್ಕಿಂತ ಒಂದು ಮೇಲೆ ಒಂದು ಮಾರ್ಗ ಇದೆ. ನಾವು ಆ ದೇವರನ್ನ ಅಂತ ದೇವರನ್ನ ಪೂಜೆ ಮಾಡೋದಿದ್ರೆ ಹೇಳಿದ ಪ್ರಕಾರ ನಿಮ್ಗೋಸ್ಕರ ನಾವು ಪ್ರಾರ್ಥನೆ ಮಾಡ್ತೀವಿ, ಪ್ರೇಯರ್ ಮಾಡ್ತೀವಿ. ನೀವು ನಾ ಜನರಿಗೆ ಒಳ್ಳೇದು ಮಾಡಬೇಕು, ನಾ ಜನರ ಶಿಷ್ಯತನ ಮಾಡಬೇಕು ನೀವು.
At this point, a Maharishi becomes a Christian, and he, more than anyone, realizes the holy nature of this moment, and he removes his sandals because he is on holy ground. You are staring in the face of a miracle. A man who has searched his whole life for his father finally finds him.
ಇಂಗ್ಲಿಷ್ ಬರುದಿಲ್ಲ ಕನ್ನಡ, ಆದ್ರೆ ಸ್ವಲ್ಪ ಸ್ವಲ್ಪ ಕೊಡ್ಬೋದು ಬೈಬಲ್ ಸ್ವಲ್ಪ ಚೆನ್ನಾಗಿದೆ.
ವಿ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಎನಿ ಬೈಬಲ್ಸ್? ನೀವು ಈ ನಂಬರ್ ನಾ ಹೇಳಿದಲ್ಲ ನಾನು ಫೋನ್ ಮಾಡ್ತೀನಿ ನಿಮಗೆ. ಫೋನ್ ಮಾಡಿದ್ದು ಖಂಡಿತ ಭೇಟಿ ಆಗ್ತೀನಿ.
ಬಳ್ಳಾರಿಯಲ್ಲಿ ಪಾಸ್ಟ್ ಇದಾರಲ್ಲ, ಪಾಸ್ಟ್ ನಂಬರ್ ಕೊಟ್ಟು ಕಾಂಟ್ಯಾಕ್ಟ್ ಮಾಡಿಸ್ಬಿಡಿ.
ಚರ್ಚ್ ಹೋಗ್ಬೇಕು ನೀವು.
ದೊಡ್ಡ ಚರ್ಚ್ ಫೋಂಡಾದಾಗ ಹೋಗ್ತಿರ್ತೀವಿ,
ವಾರಕ್ಕೊಂದು ಹೋಗ್ತಿರ್ತೀವಿ,
ವಾರಕ್ಕೊಂದು ಹೋಗ್ತಿರ್ತೀವಿ. ಸಮಾಧಾನ ಸಂತೋಷ
ಅಲ್ಲ ಗಡ್. ಗಡ್ 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 ಥ್ಯಾಂಕ್ ಯು ಜೀಸಸ್.
ಕೆಲವೊಂದ ನಮ್ಮ ಮಟ್ಟಕ್ಕೆ ನಾವು ಗುಡ್ದಾಗಿರ್ತೀವಿ. ಹಳ್ಳಿಯರು ಬಂದು ಎಷ್ಟೋ ಸಲ ನಮ್ಮ ಹತ್ರ ಬಂದಿಲ್ಲ, ಯೇಸುವಾರ್ ಬಂದು ಅವ್ರೇ ನಮ್ ಸಂಬಂಧ ಪ್ರಾರ್ಥನೆ ಮಾಡಿದ್ವಿ. ನಾವು ಒಳ್ಳೇದು ಹೇಳಿದ್ವಿ, ಬಹಳ ಚರ್ಚೆ ಮಾಡ್ತೀವಿ
ಚೆನ್ನಾಗಿ. That'll be good, sir.
Six months later, Ravi visited us in Chicago and gave us an update on how the Maharishi is doing.
Well, this guy has gone back and he's talked to his disciples, and they've been following Jesus, and he's talked to the followers. People come from everywhere, and he's been talking to them. As far as I know, that he's well protected by his own people. He was performing, obviously he's performing miracles too. Some headaches and stomach aches that he's dealing with. That's one thing that's protecting him, that people see the power that he has from God and they have to believe him. And he's been prophesying, it seems. He's just been telling things, what's happening for tomorrow, future. I mean, he's giving all the credit to what Jesus did in his life.
It seems the Father is trying to speak to all of his children. The real question is, what do we do when he does? The answer to that question...
That's good. Isn't it amazing? All started because somebody's learned to live connected and Jesus directed him. But he was playing both ends. He led that Hindu gentleman who didn't even know who he was to the same spot. Go to Colossians again, we'll finish up. Next week, I believe we're going to go over into 1 Corinthians 12, and we're going to look at some of the things of the graces of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit. In Colossians chapter 2 here, notice what Paul says. He says, "For I want you to know how great a struggle I have on your behalf and for those who are at Laodicea," which incidentally is talked about over in Revelation, "and for all those who have not personally seen my face, that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love." Everybody say in love. That's where we start. "And attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding." That means they walked it out and it's been proven as genuine. "Resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery," or the revelation of what God's mystery is, "and that is Christ himself." No, he talks about it as Christ in us. Christ himself and Christ in us. That's not just a generic word. It's a person. You'll run into folks that talk about Christ as if it's some generic term. It's a person. The word Christ literally means the anointed one. So it's a person. It's not just a generic something. It's a person. There's a face on that, and that face is Jesus. But Paul talks about, again, what? The union of the presence of God in the presence of man. The mystery is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Well, it's not Jesus himself, it's his Spirit. He said, I'm gonna go away, but I'm gonna send you another that's just like me. Speaking of the Holy Spirit. And he's been with you, but he will be in you. That's John chapter 14, 15, 16, 17, all that whole section. He has been with you, but he will be in you. There's the union of the presence of God and the presence of man. And he goes on to say here in Colossians, he says, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Jesus. In the anointed one that's in you as a new creation. I say this so that no one will be delude you with persuasive arguments. For even though I am absent in body, nevertheless I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good discipline and the stability of your faith in Christ. Look at the next verse. Therefore, as you've received Christ as a one-time done deal incident, as you've received him, he says, as you've received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. The word walk in is in the present tense. It literally means on an ongoing, constant basis, all the time. There's no end to it. So he's saying, as you've received Christ Jesus the Lord, be walking in him constantly on an ongoing, constant basis. How many know the video you just saw? How many think that Indian minister that ministered to that Hindu gentleman was walking in him on an ongoing, constant basis? I got another section that we'll show you at some point where he comes in contact with a witch doctor, and the dude just goes and hides in a corner like a scared dog. And it wasn't because he was being aggressive, he just standing there. And his wife basically says, "We don't understand it. Everybody always listens to us. Everybody always gives us whatever we want. We can go out in the woods and sacrifice and all kind of stuff like this. We don't understand what's going on right now. Why are we in such confusion?" It's because the presence of God was there. And darkness is confused when the presence of God is here. He's light. They cannot comprehend and they cannot throw down the light. Amen. So Paul says, hey, as you've received Christ, walk in Him. Now jump forward to same chapter. Go to let's go to verse 15. Speaking of Jesus, it says, when He disarmed the rulers and authorities, He made a public display of them and triumphed over them through Him. I mean, that's the veil of death being that which separated man from God is gone. And then He goes on to say, therefore, no one is to act as your judge in regard to, and then He starts talking about religious things, natural man-made religions, as He says it in another place, man-made religion, about food or drink or in respect to festivals or new moons or Sabbath days or all the stuff that encompasses man-made religion. And He goes on to say, verse 17, things which are really just a mere shadow of what is, now your Bible says to come. But I want you to understand that this verse, this word also is in the present tense. So it's not what is to come future, it is what is coming even right now all the time. What's always coming. Man-made religion is nothing more than a shadow of the true environment that is with heaven and earth being one. Because of what Jesus did. Jesus is always speaking. He's always directing. He's always guiding. He's always on. It's always coming all the time. And so Paul is saying, look, don't get caught up in these natural religious systems, these natural religious environments that are nothing more than a shadow of that which really is all the time. And he goes on to say, he said, Jesus is the body. That's literally what it says. The NASB says substance, but Jesus is the body. Religion is the shadow. How many know if I stand out in the sun and you look at my shadow, you're not going to know a whole lot of detail about me? I mean, you might see where certain parts stick out farther. But you're not going to know any detail. You're not going to know what color shirt I have on. You're not going to see anything detail about me at all. Why in the world would people settle for the outline of something that seems like it's spiritual, but it's completely disconnected and it lacks all of the details that matter? Give me a break. Notice what he says here. He says, don't get caught up in all that mess. He said, but 18, let no one keep defrauding you of the prize by delighting in self-abasement and the worship of angels and taking the stand on visions that he's seen or inflated without cause by his natural mind and not holding fast, everybody say holding fast, to the head, from whom the entire body being supplied on an ongoing constant, this is present tense, ongoing constant basis. See, natural religion is nothing more than a shadow of the ongoing constant supply that is coming from the head to the body, which is you as a new creation all the time. Why do we want to get caught up in man's systems? Or why do people get caught up in man's systems when they realize that the only reason, you know, you heard this guy on the video, he spent his whole life trying to be perfect. When he didn't realize that Jesus made him that way. Get off the dang gerbil wheel and start enjoying the presence of Jesus instead of trying to please Him all your life. I mean, the guy talked about he was raised in church. He talked like he was raised in church like some guy talks nowadays. Well, I'm trying to be good, I'm trying not to lie, I'm trying not to steal, I'm trying not to do all this stuff. That sounds like a good Baptist. I don't mean that, I'm not saying against any Baptists or any labels, okay? It's a way of thinking, the same way of thinking that has penetrated churches and penetrated people's minds, thinking that it's okay, it's just as good for me to learn how to not do this and not do this and not do this and then do this, do this, do this, do this. That's the end. That's not the end. That's just a shadow. You'll be that if you just learn to live as a new creation, His Spirit with your spirit. You don't think He's going to lead you any other way, do you? I'd rather just enjoy my fellowship with Him, spend time in His Word, and let Him show me revelation out of His mind, and then show me how to walk that out, and then show me how to plug in every day of my life when I'm out there in the world living life, and you know, enjoying people and staying connected with Him. And when Daddy has something he wants to say, or if he has something he wants to minister, or he wants to lift that person up, or he wants to set him free from an infirmity, or whatever that is, whatever's in his heart to do. I mean, in the whole book of Acts, they went about doing good because Daddy's good. And in that situation, in each individual situation, they were living plugged in to see, okay, well, how do you want to do this, Daddy? How do you want to set this person free? It's not a question of whether you want to. See, the church has got it all screwed up. They think it's an option. Well, do they get set free or do they not get set free? He's good, so we're good all the time. Because there's always a constant flow all the time. He said, don't live in the shadow, live in the reality. Because Jesus is the supply all the time. In fact, it's interesting the way this word is done, and I'm done here. But it's interesting the way this, it says, hold fast to the head. The word hold fast there literally is the Greek word that has to do, that speaks to cause a state to continue because authority was exerted. In other words, what is he saying? He's speaking to us, Paul's speaking to us from the place of realizing, okay, you already understand that you're seated in heavenly places with him, right? Right. So don't get caught up in all this worldly mess of trying to do this or not eat this or not do this or be this or do this or that, because all of that whole system is nothing more than a shadow. Why don't you, since you're already seated in heavenly places with him next to Jesus, he starts talking about in Colossians 3, seek those things which are above, not those things that are on the earth. In other words, all the systems, all the religious stuff, all that whole system, environment, don't even go there. You're already connected to the head because you're seated in heavenly places with him. Why don't you utilize that authority that he's already given you and you refuse all of this mess on purpose and go after him and stay connected? Is anybody getting anything out of this, or am I just... And he goes on to say, hold fast to the head from which the entire body, being supplied on an ongoing, constant basis, held together by the joints and the ligaments, grows with a growth which is from God. Now, in my Bible, it's right across the page, but in yours it may be different. Chapter 3, look at this. He says, in verse 15, let the peace of God be ruling on an ongoing, constant... Let the peace of God be ruling or being an ongoing, all the time arbitrator in your heart. The peace of God is nothing missing or broken. He's not talking about just the environment or you have a nice warm feeling inside. Because he's talking about how you see other people. He says, let the peace of God, let the nothing missing or broken. In other words, he's saying, look, when you're connected to the head, you see people the way he sees people, and you don't see people other ways. You don't see them deficient in any way. You don't see their deficiencies. I'm going to say that again. You don't see their deficiencies. Everybody say, I don't see their deficiencies. He said, let the peace of God, let the nothing missing and nothing broken be the arbitrator in your heart. And then he says, as a result of that, that's what you were called to because you are a part of one body, the body of Christ. And being thankful, he says, be led on an ongoing, constant basis. Let the word of Christ richly be dwelling within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, songs that come out of your spirit, singing with thankfulness in your heart to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him and God the Father. So did you see the flow there? Stay connected to the head As a result of staying connected to the head, something comes from the head. Number one, it's perspective. Live there, and then as a result of you living there, now you're accurately hearing and you're receiving things uncontaminated from the Spirit of God. And he says the environment of the New Testament church is that we should always be living plugged in. We should always be, because we refuse to see people with deficiency, we're always constantly plugged into the flow, that which is being supplied all the time by Jesus, and we should be able to communicate those things to other people to build them up. Amen. That's the environment of the New Testament church. Next week we'll get into in 1 Corinthians 12, he talks about similar stuff. He talks about the gifts of the Spirit. And I'm going to unravel a bunch of mess so that the Spirit of God can set us free. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Did you get anything out of this?
Yes.
Everybody stand. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just love you and praise you. I thank you for your Holy Spirit, your presence on the inside of us. Thank you, Father, for a greater reality. And if I could use this term, a greater God consciousness. A greater consciousness of the presence of Jesus. The presence of the Spirit of God. Or as Paul said, a greater consciousness of the love of the Father. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord, that every individual in this room, you've opened the eyes of their understanding. You've given them a spirit of wisdom. They have a spirit that's given to wisdom and given to revelation in regards to the revelation that you have in your mind. Father, I thank you that you cause your presence to become more of a reality in our life than ever before. That we defer to your presence. We turn our affections towards you on an increasing basis. We thank you for the transfer. Because of the love that you've given us as a nature inside, we thank you for the transfer of all of the storehouse of wisdom and knowledge that is in Jesus. And we just thank you and praise you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. For service times and other event information, visit www.bestlifechurch.org.